So I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front.
There is a long list of things I would rather do than preach a sermon about money in my first month at a new church. Let's explore what some of those things are that I would rather do.
I would rather wait in line at the DMV behind someone with the flu. I would rather be stuck in construction traffic on Old Shell Road in July in a car with a broken air conditioner. I would rather have salad for dinner. Here's the thing, you don't know me yet. You don't trust me yet. That's okay, we're new friends.
You don't want me to tell you how to spend your money, and I don't either. Promise me, I don't either.
And yet, like a cruel joke from heaven, the lectionary passage from this Sunday is Jesus teaching about money. Thanks for that, Jesus. So I'll make a deal with you. I'll go through the story. I'll try not to add too much commentary. We'll read it. We'll let the text speak for itself. And then you'll still be my friends. Deal?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us today to hear your word. Show us your will for our lives. Make us the people you have called us to be. Amen. So let me give you some context to our story here. In today's text, there's a situation going on around just the section of text that we read. And it's crucial for us to know this context so that we can understand the verse. Right before our passage, Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's giving them instructions on how to go out into the world and be his followers. So in Luke 12:4, before this section, he tells the disciples, "Do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell." So Jesus is telling his disciples, look, people aren't going to like what you have to say. But you don't need to be afraid of them. Be afraid of the Lord. The worst they can do is kill you. Jesus goes on to explain to them that they will be tested and they will be pressured by the authorities and the angry mobs. He explains that they will be afraid and they will even be tempted to soften their message or even deny Christ. But Jesus tells them to speak the truth, be faithful, and let the Holy Spirit be their guide. Now, while he is having this little talk with the disciples, a crowd starts to form around their little meeting, right? They wanted to see Jesus. They've heard a lot about him. And a man in the crowd shouts out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." This is, of course, the beginning of our text this morning. The guy who asks this question to Jesus is actually interrupting a private conversation that's going on. It's very rude. So Jesus, who has just been telling his disciples that they should not be afraid and that they need to speak the truth, and he tells them not to worry about any harm that they should persevere. And just then, in the middle of this pep talk, a man interrupts and asks Jesus how to help him get what he's owed. The man gives Jesus an opportunity to practice what he's preaching. And of course, Jesus shows the disciples a really great example of what it looks like to witness to the kingdom of God in this world. So Jesus told the disciples to be strong, hold fast in their beliefs, and then he immediately gets a question about money. This is really important. It's important because speaking about money has always been a touchy subject. I don't want to do it today. They didn't want to do it then. No one wants to be told how they should spend their money that they earned. This has always been true. So with that in mind, let's read through the scripture again and let it speak for itself. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Okay, so Jesus says, be on guard for all kinds of greed. That's good advice. We can all get behind that, right? We know that buying things isn't going to make us happy ultimately, right? We can all get behind this. But then Jesus decides to tell a parable instead. Taking it a little farther, he says, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barn and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" So let's make sure we're on the same page here. This guy has an excessive harvest, or an excess harvest, not excessive necessarily. He worked hard this year. He tended to the crops properly and managed his workers well. He received this excess through his own efforts. And he decides that he's going to relax, put his feet up, have a nice meal and a nice drink. I imagine that if he knew about the beaches on the Gulf Coast, he would have gotten himself a beach chair, put his feet up, had a cold drink, listened to the waves roll in. I think we'd all appreciate it if the story ended right here, right? Man works hard, gets a little extra, he retires so that he can live out the rest of his days. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God." So do you remember how Jesus was giving his disciples instructions right before this? Right before the man interrupted to talk about money? Well, after telling this man off, Jesus then turns back to the disciples and continues the conversation that they were having about going into the world and being faithful. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." This is in verse 22, sorry. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." And then a little later in verse 29, he says again, "Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, strive for the kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." So for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how there is a kingdom of God. And then there's the kingdoms and the nations of the world. And those two kingdoms have different values. And for people in the world, the things of God's kingdom can look absurd. There is nothing more absurd and difficult for me to stand up here today than to say this. A lot of people in this world work hard. A lot of people sacrifice and go through difficult times. A lot of people do honest work and make their living through honest means. I desperately don't want to degrade that. But we have to remember that if we are part of a different kingdom, we have a different set of values. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after these things." It is not the kingdom of God that strives after possessions. It is the nations, the kingdoms of the world. Now there's this country song on the radio right now. It goes a little bit like this. It says, "I keep hearing that money is the root of all evil, and you can't fit a camel through the eye of a needle. I'm sure that's probably true, but it still sounds pretty cool. Because it could buy me a boat. It could buy me a truck to pull it. It could buy me a Yeti 110 ice down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it could buy me a boat. Obviously, this song is silly. I don't expect any of you to actually feel this way, but I think we can all see the ways that the spirit of this song is all around us in this world. Buying is everything in our culture. We are advertised to constantly. In fact, in the lyrics that I just read to you, there were two product placements. I don't know if you noticed that. There was an ad for Yeti coolers and for Coors Light. The story of our culture is that buying will make us happy. But as Christians, this is not our story. When we were baptized into the church, we were taught a different story. In the Christian story, we reject the empty promise that buying something will fill the void of desire in our souls. In the Christian story, we remove that desire to buy more, and we begin to seek after the only thing that will truly fulfill us, the very God who created us. It's your breath in our lungs, and so we pour out your praise. We were formed in God's image, and our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And I hate to tell you, but if you use money and possessions to give you peace and fulfillment, you will always come up on the other side wanting more. And this endless cycle of desire and disappointment will only leave you lonely. Friends, there is only one thing that will truly fulfill our desires. A life spent seeking God, following the example of Christ, and listening to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And Christ said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Your joy is not determined by the amount that you accumulate. Your joy will always find its truest expression in the person of Jesus Christ poured out for you. Jesus goes on to say, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's pray.